Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Chris here.
How's it going, Chris?
Doing good. I'm so glad we're now entering into August, and it's nice.
Yeah, I feel like we've gotten a little bit of a reprieve because we had like a couple days where we had a really stormy day, but yesterday was gorgeous. It was mid-70s
yeah,
and
it was
like
great.
a little
And today's not
overcast.
bad at all. I
No,
mean,
no.
we beats like, a week or so ago when it got like 98% humidity.
And temps in the low to mid 90s
Yeah, that
at
was
the same time.
awesome.
It's just you step outside and it's like, oh, it's soup.
Yeah. Oh, look, I didn't realize I was swimming today.
Right.
Okay.
There's fall soup weather, and then there's just the weather is soup.
Yeah. But anyway, so hey, glad to be here. We got a pretty cool program, I think, today. Is we're talking something that we both enjoy a lot.
And it's I think we're taking a deep dive into the topic of like how we develop recipes and like our thought process and how we do all the different stuff as far as like I've published recipes, you published a couple recipes, we've thrown out like our the base results, but how do we go from like an idea or a concept and get a a plan?
And we're going to go into a little bit, but before we start that, we want to thank all of our listeners here, especially a new listener that I talked to just yesterday named Luna at the tea shop I told you about earlier. She said she has been looking to make her first mead.
All right.
And I referred her. I said, why don't you come in to visit us here? We'll be glad to help you out. And you can even ask questions.
Yeah, no, we have, we have a couple really easy starter recipes, the 8%, the 12%. If you're just looking to make a traditional, or you can vibe on that. I mean, we've talked on more than one occasion about how, hey, start here, go here, and we'll talk more because, I mean,
That's what we're doing today.
yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, it's
All of you are
always
welcome. We're glad to have you here.
great to add some more listeners to the fray here and
Oh, yeah.
get some, hey, shoot us your experiences, shoot us your input, and say, hey, this is what I did. This is we are in a community here, so the more input we get from you guys, the more extra stuff we can add to the discussion, and everybody wins. That rising tide that raises all ships, as we say. And hey, for those of you that are longtime listeners that have been just going to the website and downloading stuff there, we're making it a little easier for you now. We have we are available on a bunch of different platforms or directories for
Yeah,
podcasts
a lot of them
now.
came up all of a sudden. We're really happy about that.
Right, yeah, it kind of just we had a bunch of them that just hit as all at once, and we've added a couple here or there. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Pocket Cast, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Deezer, Podcast Addict, Player FM, Podchaser, Castbox, Good Pods, Podcast Index. We are still working on Spotify and Apple Music, but
And we still have our website of themeadhouse.com and
yes.
Facebook.
Yeah. And if you need to reach out to us, if you want to reach out to us, if you want to say, hey, I did this, that, or the other, go ahead. We're good for that. You can shoot us an email at info@themeadhouse.com. You can find us on Facebook at The Mead House. We should maybe do an Instagram too. I think
Yeah,
that's
we might as well.
maybe, I mean,
One more thing's not going to hurt us.
that's what the kids these days are used. God, I feel old saying.
Not me. I got 2 more weeks. I've been saying that for almost 40 years. So, all right.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah.
Hey, you know who else we need to thank?
Box and barleycorn.
Yes, they've been sponsoring us since we got this thing back in the air. They are a fixture in the homebrew community as far as just, they have damn near everything you could need as far
If they
as
don't have it, they can get it. And
exactly.
for example, I asked for a particular type of the hazy lemon syrup they weren't carrying at that particular time. They stopped carrying it because a lot of people said, well, I'm not getting the results I want. And so people didn't want it, they didn't carry it. But I said, I actually get the results I want. So they ordered me. It wasn't even a problem.
Yeah, no, if they don't have it in stock, they probably know how to get it. And whether it's, the ingredients you need, the equipment you need, the knowledge, the
The advice, the
expertise,
recipes,
right?
the.
If they don't have it, they can point you in the direction to get it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And they're more than glad to do it too. Really hospitable, really great guys there, Jake and the family.
Jake is a solid dude that he has done so much with that store since taking over for Jackie, and happy as hell to be working with them.
Oh, yeah.
And hey, their prices are already really competitive compared to the
Market in general.
right.
And but you can get an additional 10% off if you simply put in our code
MHP
MPH10.
MHP 10.
MHP, damn it. Dyslexia strikes again. MHP10.
MHP10 for 10% off your order. Online order, you know, if you tell them, hey, at the meat house, and you go in and buy from them, they'll probably still honor that, I think,
Yeah.
maybe, I would think.
Yeah. It never hurts to ask. But
Right, exactly.
you go there and visit and say hi, tell them tell Jake, hey, you heard about this or here. Heard about them here. And the meat of the day, going to tie, we're actually using one of my meats, one of my meats. This is called Blackberry Sage. Now, me get you a glass here. We'll review this thing. And when I first tried this, when I first got it out of the fermenter, I thought it was a little heavy on the sage. That was about 8 months ago.
Okay.
So here we go.
So color-wise, it's I would expect a darker color from blackberry. This is kind of a burnt straw, kind of an orangey color.
Light amber.
Yeah, light amber, maybe a actually maybe a dark amber,
Okay.
for amber color. But like I said, kind of a burnt orange. You know, again, my glasses aren't like pristinely clean. They come from my dishwasher, but I could, yeah, it's mostly sheeting the glass. Definitely get blackberry on the nose,
Yeah,
though.
I got a good blackberry smell there. But I'm getting that earthy quality underneath there.
A little bit.
Yeah, that's which is what I was aiming for smell. So give it a taste and what
Yeah.
Oh, better. So much better.
Yeah. The sage is, it's there, but it's not over. The blackberry is really up front and forward.
That sage, I wanted a hint of sage in the tasting, and the and like I said, when I first got out of the bucket, the sage was, oh, I'm hard to tell there's blackberry in there somewhere, but aging,
Herbs can do that. Yep.
yeah,
And
I didn't oak this, I just aged it.
how did you just add dried sage or?
I did. I put dry sage in a bag, and I actually dried the sage for my garden.
Nice.
So it was very, I washed the sage, I dried it, put it in a bag, and threw it in there so it would pull the oils out as it hydrated it. And I put in 1.5 ounces for 4 days.
Okay. How big was your batch? Was it a 5 gallon, a 1 gallon?
It was a 3 gallon. It was
Okay.
a 3 gallon.
Okay. So an ounce and a half is a half an ounce gallon.
Yeah. And but again, I was worried because on day three when I tasted it, I said, oh, it's still pretty light on the sage. And one day later, it all came up. I mean, it was just, oh my gosh. I was scared at that
Here's the interesting thing about drinking this to me. Like when I The sage is not over in and of itself
point.
up front. When it gets to like the back palate, on the tip of my tongue, I get the kind of that tannic note of the sage, especially. Like it's that it lingers into the aftertaste a little bit, just a little bit.
And I feel a lot of that sage-like taste texture in the back of the tongue. Yeah.
What do I want to say? Yeah, it's. Sage is not a strong, like, overt flavor, really, unless you really go heavy on it, and I don't think you have. But it has a kind of, like you said, an earthy, little, not quite woody, but in
Yeah.
that woody ballpark, note to it that just kind of it tones down the sweetness of the blackberry in a way that's pleasant to me.
Yeah. And I'm very happy with it now. I'm glad I did not throw it out because, oh my gosh. But yeah, it was a half an ounce per gallon. And it was just my regular blackberry. But I didn't do a whole lot other than I threw it in with secondary.
Okay.
I threw the sage in with secondary.
Now, when you say your regular blackberry, so you use like the Vintner's Harvest
Yes.
blackberry on that? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask if that was like a Vintner's Harvest thing or
Yeah,
if you
but I
just use
didn't use
blackberry.
as much because I was doing a 3 gallon batch as opposed to my 7 gallon batch. I probably underdid it a little bit. That's why I didn't get the color I thought I would.
Okay.
But there you go.
Nice. So we were going to talk about our process for how we develop a meat or how we create these ideas, and I thought I'd let you kick off first, especially since we're drinking your mead.
Well, excellent. I'd be glad to.
So
All right. Generally, I don't know if I'm qualified as a foodie, but I really like food. So when I get a, I come across a taste or flavor combination I like, because I make a lot of mead, I immediately think, can I get this in a mead? When I first started, I've always loved blackberry. That was my go-to fruit if I could get it. And I've never actually never done until recently, I've never done a blueberry. And I've never done the Meadow Foam yet. Because I wanted, that, well, these things are, they're award-winning. All this, that wasn't my goal. What is, I took a flavor I really, really liked. And I said, here's this. And I started with that. Then all of a sudden I realized, just a fruit mead for me lacks complexity. I want something else there to draw attention, not distract, but draw attention. Like when you're making a s'more, you have graham cracker and marshmallow and chocolate. And if you do it right, they complement. So my first batch was the blackberry vanilla, which I actually made my own vanilla extract. I took fresh vanilla beans I got online, eventually at Bacchus, and I split them open, put them in a neutral spirit, and I put them in spirit the same time I started my blackberry. So I had a few weeks for it to mature.
Well, and we talked about tincturing last week. If we didn't mention that up front, we probably should have. But hey, it's a good time to start your tinctures at the very least when you're putting your primary together, because you're going to use this not in secondary, really, but in bottling, like right before. So you have a month or two or three to let those tinctures develop their flavor.
And I have that same bottle still of the blackberry vanilla, the vanilla extract. It's now 5 years old. And it is dark and it's gorgeous and it smells. I pop the top and I'm sitting here, oh, this is the best smell ever. But anyway, so I picked my flavor and I found a complementary flavor to go with it. Is how I process this. Then I take the standard mead recipe and I will, okay, if I want a strong blackberry flavor, I'm making a 7 gallon batch, I'll use an entire gallon of syrup because I want a lot of blackberry in there. If I don't want a strong flavor, you don't. I've met people that put a cup of syrup or the juice in per gallon.
Now, pause.
Yes.
Standard mead recipe.
My standard mead recipe. I will take, for my blackberry vanilla, I will take a gallon of blackberry. I will take approximately 2 pounds of honey per gallon, but I'll use my hydrometer to give to the reading I want. And if I'm going for a 12, I mean, I have it written down, but I can't remember my numbers. I apologize about that. I will get to my, what I want for, but originally I was doing like 4 pounds of honey per gallon, and I was doing atrocious amounts. And I was getting 18% in the end of it. But now I'll use my drummer to get to whatever the number is, I can't remember what it is, for 12%.
And we write things down so we don't have to remember them.
Yeah, exactly. And I've written this down. Don't have it with me at the moment. Then I will add, I put in my spring water. And once I get that to the hydrometer level I want, which is dicey because I'm kind of specific about that. And I only have so much room in that bucket. So be careful about how much I'm putting in there and make sure it's well mixed. Make sure it's well mixed. Then I will add all of my yeast, my stabilizers, my nutrients, my all at once, and mix it into a cup with the yeast and make sure that's bubbling. Throw it in there, cap it, and I leave it for a week. So I'll visit in a week, see if everything's doing well, looks good, no film, no off smells. Cap it again and give it a stir, cap it again, off I go. After I'll do that for 2 to 3 weeks. Then I will leave it alone for till it stops bubbling in the bubbler. I will not visit it again. For until it stops fermenting the first round. After that, I will rack it into, I'll let it settle, I'll rack it into a secondary. And at this point, you're going to lose a lot of your must, which is a good thing.
Well, that's the point of bracket
Yeah,
secondary,
go ahead in a secondary. But then I'm going to very, very carefully taste what I have. And it's going to be dry because I go to dry. And then I'm going to add honey to the sweetness I like, which is for me is my wife works with me. She has a better sense of taste than I do. And I will get to a upper level semi-sweet. And I've added as much as I do know this. I've added as much as in one batch, I added 1.5 pounds per batch per 7 gallons. One time I had 3 pounds of honey. But that's what took to get to where I liked it.
Sure.
And but then I will add by quarter cup for a 7 gallon batch, by quarter cup, my vanilla extract. Stir, wait for approximately 20 to 30 minutes till it settles out, and then I'll taste it.
All right.
And I will do that until I can just taste the vanilla and decide from there. And usually I stop right about there when you just taste vanilla and I back off, cap it, let it sit for.
Do you have a guess as to how many quarter cups of that extract you're putting in there?
The last time I did my 7 gallon batch with quarter cups, I put in a cup and a quarter.
Okay. So that's 5 quarter cups you put in there and
Yeah,
kind of
for a 7 gallon batch. It's not much. The vanilla's strong.
For a 7 gallon batch, a cup and a quarter is not a lot. No, not a lot at all.
And, but I only wanted to barely taste the vanilla, so it was the accent, not the taste.
Yeah. Well, then that's,
Now, again, when I went for my dragon fruit mead, I put in, I had dragon fruit juice. It was fresh squeezed juice that I got at the health food store. I had a dragon fruit juice that in a 1 gallon batch, I put in 2.5 quarts. Jeez. And then added honey. And this was an 8%. And then I put like 2 cups of water to top it off, and that was it.
I mean, I would maybe have been tempted not to put any water in and just top it up with more dragon fruit
Well,
juice,
this
but
was before I realized if it was over halfway up the jar, it was good. I thought I had to be pretty close to full. So I was ignorant about a certain potential. But that's all the dragon fruit juice I had at the time. And I just made it so it was like 4 inches off the top of the bottle and capped it. And have we tried that one yet?
I don't think we have. Maybe we have. I'm not sure.
Okay, if we haven't, I still have a bottle or two. I'll bring it back, next time
Okay.
we're
Yeah.
here.
We'll tr maybe we'll try that next week.
Or, in coming weeks. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
We'll try that soon.
But we got a lot of those we can try it now. But for that one, dragon fruit is such a subtle flavor. I didn't want to enhance that.
Yeah.
Because anything I do could easily overpower that.
Well, that's as a primary flavor, anything light. You have to be careful with adding, extra notes too. Yeah, I can totally see that.
But for my lemon that I talked about, I got my hazy lemon syrup today. I'm going to get it tomorrow, rather. The biggest thing that Jake told me at the time and recently, it tastes like pledge when you make it into a wine. And what my goal was, I didn't want to taste like cough syrup. For the sake of avoiding those problems of taste like French polish or cough syrup, I added ginger because lemon and ginger for me is a very natural thing. And
I
it came
mean,
out nicely.
you didn't want it to taste like cough syrup, so you use lemon ginger, which is the flavor I think of when I think of cough drops.
I like cough drops better than cough syrup anyway, so I'm not unhappy with that one.
I'm just giving you grief, though.
It's fine. You're welcome to do so because you're going to get it back.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we'll get we're about to get into my process and oh my gosh.
And here we are. And there I come.
Then leave that door wide open.
Now, I have an advantage. My wife is an excellent cook, and my daughter's a trained chef.
Yes.
If I have a question about flavor, I have somebody to talk to. You guys are, that are listening to us now, if you have a question, ask us. If we don't know, we'll ask somebody who does. Or you do something totally unbelievable. You can get a book called The Flavor Bible.
The Flavor Bible, which I got it down here because I'll talk about that in my part as far
And
as
I actually ended up with two copies somehow.
oops.
I don't know how I did that, but I did. And you will be amazed what flavors enhance what flavors in that book. My son, when he did his sarsaparilla or his sarsaparilla mead a while back, we found out that it would be enhanced with lemon zest. We had no clue,
I wouldn't have thought of that either.
but it's in the flavor Bible. And when we do it again, I'm going to try it with lemon.
Well, then that's where I got the idea we talked about in the tinctures episode. I was doing a apricot mead, and the idea of using cardamom in that with the apricot was like that was a something that I would never have thought of. But oh, those two go really nice together, actually. And so, that's I still need to, refine that recipe a
Well,
little bit on my
yeah.
own, but
Okay, we've gotten, my association with Jeff, and since I'm doing this podcast, I have gotten picky about what flavors I put together and the amounts I put in.
sure.
Because when Jeff says I'm going for more precise flavors, I'm sitting here, damn it, now I am too. And I'm not going to be as particular as Jeff is, but I want to make better.
Well, and I think it's, I don't want to say that I'm going for precise flavors. I am definitely, and again, we'll talk about this when we talk about my recipe development, but we've both been to competitions where somebody says, hey, this is a strawberry, raspberry, blackberry, gooseberry,
Blackberry,
and apple, pear, pineapple mead.
with huckleberry.
Right. And you taste it, and you don't get any of those.
Yeah,
You
you
get
get
a kind of
it's fruit.
fruit.
And
It's
there's nondescript fruit.
right. It's fruity. It's very fruity, but you don't get any of those. And then I've had some meads where it's like, it's a strawberry, blackberry, and blueberry, and you can pick out strawberry and the blackberry and the blueberry. They're all there. They're all separate, and they're all like beautifully defined.
But they taste good together.
Right. They play nicely together, but they're all their own flavors, and you can pick those out really easily. What I go for is, again, that everything that is in there is distinctly there. It plays its part nicely. You don't want to muddle it with too many flavors to where they kind of blend together and get something nondescript, like fruity.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually done a blended fruit mead. Big out of waste not want not attitude. I did my almost infamous freezer fruit route blend. I found a whole bunch of frozen fruit in the bottom of my freezer and little sandwich style Ziplocs. And oh, I got a here, I got this and 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 this.
Yeah.
I had enough for a 2 gallon batch. Went
Well,
for
and my former co-host Ryan did the same thing. Like he did his yearly freezer cleanup mead.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It gives you something to drink, and it's usually worst case, we're talking about a mead that is fun for you and your friends,
And
right?
it's usually palatable. It's good.
Yeah, it's just not, would I enter it into a competition and expect to win some medals? No. Would I
But
drink it on a Saturday afternoon after I finish mowing the lawn?
hell yeah.
Maybe. That's a good thing for that.
But
Okay.
by the same token, but the funny thing is, it wasn't about the flavor of the mead when I started it. It was about it's fun. I have no idea what's going to come. I couldn't make that mead again if I tried. I wasn't going to try.
Right.
I literally was cleaning out my freezer. And it,
Better to use it than let it get freezer burn and get nasty,
yeah,
right?
exactly. And it
Yeah.
was, and it, was it good? Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was okay to good is all the higher bar we need to set for that.
Yeah.
Not everything needs to be good. I mean, and by we talked about after Valkyrie's Horn that I wanted to raise the bar on my meats because I felt like I was getting a little lazy, right? I was just kind of like, okay, this is good enough. Not everything has to be like, okay, I can win an award with
Yeah,
this
it's not it has
easily.
to be competition worthy. It has to be
Right.
enjoyable.
But the bulk of what I want to do is just force myself to not go, okay, this is good enough. I want to try and make better meat. And, we're talking about the whole point of this podcast. We're talking about our, experience with our growth and our, figuring out stuff with meat. If I'm not growing, then what am I talking about?
Yeah.
I'm just repeating the same crap that I keep saying again and again and again. Hey, you need to sanitize.
You want to get me started on sanitize again? You really
use
want to do
you need to
that?
stabilize your mead. Use actual nutrients, not raisins.
No, you can use raisins. I've had a perfectly acceptable raisin meat. Yeah, we're going to fight about that forever. You know we are.
I've drank Brian's mead, and it's good mead. But I still stand by the fact that you should only use raisins in mead if you're making a raisin flavored mead.
Well, he has his magic. It's good mead.
I don't know what demon he sold his soul to get that to work, but
It works.
I
Okay, anyway, so that's how I approach this is what I want for a flavor to come out with my honey flavor.
right.
I also have to think about the honey I'm using.
Yeah,
If
absolutely.
it's a strong flavored fruit, I'm going to use clover, standard, whatever meat,
Right, yeah,
whatever honey I can
something
get.
a lighter varietal.
Yeah, but if it's a very light one, I want to use even lighter honey because I want the okay. I love honey. Don't get me wrong. I grew into the fact I didn't used to like honey as a kid because it was sticky and I didn't like being sticky. But as an adult, I love honey. I love the flavors of honey. I've had one time Jeff gave me a sage honey, or was it tater time thyme honey?
Time money,
It was
yeah.
thyme honey, and it was unbelievably good. Tom, I've had the coffee blossom. I've had the Orange blossom. I've had so many types of honey since then. They're all wonderful in their own right. But I don't
Adam
want the honey.
Weistrom's 100-ish little half-pint jars of honey at the Valkyrie's
Yeah.
horn. Ugh.
Yeah. And you get so taste blind after 5, 10 of those jars just in there. I know this is special, but I can't taste a thing. But the point is, mead is a honey wine, yes. I do not want the honey to take center stage. I want it to be the support cast. And that's my goal. And then I will act accordingly from there. I've made a blueberry cinnamon. And I'm hoping it mellows out because I put too much cinnamon in that too, because I tend to do that, I guess. Cinnamon's strong. But there you go. And that's my process. I will find a flavor I like. And I if it's some if I like the one I'm gonna make with my banana fluffernutter, have to compartmentalize each thing.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, the banana is. I made a. I said I'm going to make a banana mead, not a marshmallow mead, because that's very hard to do, in my opinion, and not a peanut butter mead, but a banana mead. Then I'm going to add banana flavoring that actually is that infusion,
Okay.
alcohol infusion, not horrible. I've strained it out and added more of the peanut butter powder to get more flavor out of that.
Peanut butter infusion, not banana infusion.
I'm sorry, yeah, peanut butter infusion. I
Okay.
apologize. Getting my ingredients mixed up here. I had to filter out the peanut butter I had in the alcohol, neutral alcohol, and added more of the powder to it
Okay.
to start to get it. It's coming out pretty good.
And you're just using PB2 for this.
Yes, just
Okay.
the powdered peanut butter.
So just backtracking on your process here, and this is probably more for my information than the audience information, but the audience, if you're using this and you want a peanut butter flavor, it's what it's here for. You're basically, was this a base spirit you're adding PB2
Yes,
to?
this was actually grain alcohol.
Okay.
I tried it with vodka, and when I managed to stop thrashing and spit out what was up to my mouth, I said
We
no.
talked about this. The grain alcohol, you had like a 75%, and it was a better flavor than the
It's pulling up more
vodka.
peanut butter than alcohol flavor.
Good, good. Okay.
That's why I started to strain it and put more peanut butter in to even get more peanut butter into the
So
alcohol bit.
basically like a secondary tincture on
Yeah,
this.
exactly.
Okay. That's interesting.
And I'm hoping, I just added it recently, I'm hoping that's going to work out the way I'm thinking it's going to work
Yeah.
out. But after I finish adding this to my banana mead, again, the banana and peanut butter, the peanut flavor, I'm going to be adding a meadow foam honey for the marshmallow and maybe going to the
I'm ready, yeah.
Amaretti toasted marshmallow flavoring.
Yeah, we talked about like before we actually sat down and recorded. I made a basically I made a s'more stout with that toasted marshmallow the Amaretti flavoring, where I made like I think I did a Braggot with a white stout base, and then I used some Bocchette honey for like the honey component, and then added the toasted marshmallow like right before bottling to kind of give it that the rounded out. And I don't know that I got a lot of chocolate. I might have added cocoa nibs at some point, or had like chocolate malt. I don't remember the chocolate flavor in that being particularly strong. It was more of a, it tasted like a stout with some toasted marshmallowy notes, really. It was I finished that entire case that or case or two that I made, and it was good, so must have come out okay.
But yeah, well, if it's gone, you did good. But so I'm for my banana fluffernutter, I'm building the components individually
Right.
to incorporate all of
And it
the
almost sounds like you
steps.
should be like thinking about the meadow foam for that, the marshmallow flavor is like a back sweetening component more
Yes,
than a secondary.
that's
So,
exactly how I'm using it
right, yeah.
because meadow foam, if you ferment it, you lose all of that wonderful flavor. I've noticed time and time again. So I'm going to use it just in its natural state to give me my marshmallow honey flavor.
Nice. Okay.
But if you build like I do, I mean, figure out what you want. What is your end result and work backwards. If you're looking for the ultimate five fruit mead, good luck. I try to keep it to three or
Yeah.
three, maybe four or under, and that's my goal.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much more you have left to talk about on your
I'm
part,
pretty
but
much at the end of it.
okay. Well, we can use that to transition to my idea or my idea, my development like process too, because I start with an idea. And sometimes that's, hey, I tasted this cocktail on vacation, or hey, what can I put with X flavor that is complementary. And, again, we go to the flavor Bible. But usually, when I'm thinking of a recipe, I have a concept. And then I try and distill that concept to, what's the primary flavor? What's the secondary flavor? Is there like a tertiary, ancillary kind of a thing that I want to add to it? Because, hibiscus and chamomile one that I that I think I won a like a third in category major. I want to say like 2 or 3 months into this podcast starting.
Nice.
It's so far back that I don't think that episode is available in our back catalog yet.
Oh.
But that alone was an interesting recipe. But I added God, it's an Arabic spice kind of blend. It's not
Cardamom
za'atar.
or
No. I'm blanking on it right now. It. God, that's going to bother me. But
when you think of it, bring it back.
there was a tertiary flavor that I added just for some interest that I think it added a little bit more of a lemony flavor to it that was pleasant and interesting.
Yeah, but if when you figure out what that is, if you don't figure it out by the time we finish this cast,
Yeah.
write it in notes
Check
in our
the
website.
show notes for when Jeff finally figures out what he was missing 3 days from
Yeah.
now.
From how many years ago? Come on, cut yourself some slack.
Yeah, it is like 10-ish years now,
Yeah,
so
so.
okay. Yeah. So anyway, I start with an idea, and then I distill that down to okay, what's my primary flavor? What's my secondary flavor? What's my tertiary flavor? And then I start getting into ingredients. So that primary, is that a fruit flavor? Is that my honey flavor? Is that where am I getting those flavors from? That's kind of where I start to plan. And more often than not, that primary flavor is either going to be a fruit flavor or a honey flavor, right?
Yeah.
If that primary flavor I'm looking for is a fruit flavor, in my next step, I'm going to talk about where my sugars and flavors and things like that come from. And, again, we talked a few episodes back. I don't think I've ever had a fruit mead that I thought was too fruity.
No, me either.
So,
I've had them where the fruit didn't come through, even no matter how much fruit you put in it, but I've never had one that was too fruity.
So when I get into that planning phase, the first thing I got to figure out is how much fruit am I going to put in this sucker? How big is my batch going to be? More often than not, especially as I advance in this, 2 to 3 pounds of fruit is a good like
Base.
base kind
Okay,
of
okay.
rule of thumb, but I'm gonna edge higher. And
It also depends on the fruit. I mean, if it was apples, I'd put a lot more
I mean, yeah, if it,
in. Pears, a lot more.
apples, pears, I might not even do like a water addition. I might just use straight up juice. And that is particularly valid, and especially if you're doing fruit mead and you have the ability to do so. As far as the honey addition goes, I kind of save my honey for last, if you will. Like, I decide, okay, I'm going to do a pear mead, right? And I'm just going to do all juice. I'm not going to even add a fruit component to it. And what goes good with pear? Well, for my secondary flavor, do I have an interesting honey that goes well with pear? No, pear is kind of a light flavor, so I probably want to do something soft. Let's do, I've got that sunflower honey upstairs. I could use that. That's a really light flavor. Or I've got, the basic kind of clover that we pick up on in bulk. That's an option too. But I want to add a secondary flavor that's going to be potent. So maybe at this point I go to my flavor Bible and I find an herb or a spice that plays nice with pear. Cardamom might play nice with pear. Coriander
Coriander, yeah,
play nice with
or
pear.
cinnamon, or
Yeah.
clove, or
Clove is again, where clove is one of those where it's a little tough.
yeah, because it's strong.
Yeah, it can really overpower, but it, as we talked about before, it does settle out too. So I like to have a plan going into this of what I'm going to do in each step of the way. And basically, at this point, I say, okay, I'm going to have X number of pounds of fruit in a Y gallon batch. So maybe, 10 pounds of blackberries into a 3 gallon batch. And I'm looking for a target ABV of 12%. So I'm going to use my pectic enzyme and my lalozyme, whatever, to help break down those blackberries first. And then I'm going to add my honey to, 1090 or whatever it's going to take to get me 12%. The potential ABV to significant gravity calculators and charts and stuff are all online. It's easy to look up. I don't
Yeah.
need to
I got a
waste.
brewer's friend. If anybody wants to know, they have a chart. They have a calculator. Just put in what you got, and they'll tell you what you got at the end.
I just saw the other day, I saw a website that I think it's Mead Tools, where they have a recipe builder that's all, it's set up with, you can, it'll do all the math for you as far as how much fermented O to add, how much fermented K to add, things like that. The issue that I'm seeing is they really only have like wine-based yeasts. They don't have any beer yeasts. They don't have the Kvike yeasts, things like that that I like to play with. So it's not a perfect tool, but it's, I don't even remember the website address, but I think if you search for Mead Tools, you can find it. And I'm pretty sure it's free to just like save your recipes and stuff like there too. So that might be a useful tool for those that are listening at home.
Now, and remember, if you're using Kvike mead or yeasts, 4 times your nutrient, flat out. I
Well, and
mean,
that's kind of the next step is that now that I know how much I'm putting in here and how much, like, what my target ABV is, now I do all the math stuff, right? I've already started with how much honey do I need to add to get to my target ABV, but now I need to figure out, hey, what's my nutrient load going to look like? How alcoholic is this going to be? If it's, 10 or below, I usually dump that in all at once. If it's 12 or higher, I'll usually split that over a few additions, two or three, right? Sometimes four, depending on how high I'm going to go. I don't generally go for the high ABV stuff these days just because it makes me sleepy. I'll have one glass and nod off. Because I'm old.
used to be so much more fun at the
So anyway, shut up, Chris.
it up now.
This is where I figure out the math stuff. Okay, I'm gonna have a 12% mead, and I'm gonna use fermented K. So I need to do, I'll follow my calculations, and I've talked about my calculation in brief in a different episode. So I'm not gonna go back into that here. But I'll write all this down. I have a plan. I don't start a mead until I have a plan. And my plan also includes the conditionals. Like, when do I know when it's time to go into secondary? Basically, like, I'm looking for the mead starts to clear a little bit. I've got a definite like layer of
The musk cake.
detritus, on the bottom of the fermenter
And I'm not
or
using the term musk correctly, I know, but I call it the musk, the layer of musk or debris on the bottom.
the yeast detritus, the dregs, the lees.
Yeah.
Must is the unfermented juice you start with. So yeah, just for the sake of pedantry, sorry.
Actually, I just need to start using it correctly because if I say this regularly on here, they'll say, but that's not what he said. I'm sorry, I'm not correct in this.
So I go in with a plan. I want to know, hey, I'm moving to secondary when I've got the yeast cake, or my fermentation is basically slowed down. I'm past the two-thirds sugar break at the very least, if not like maybe I've got 10% of the sugar left to ferment. That secondary ferment for me is pretty minor. It's the cleanup phase more than anything else. At that point, I'll rack it into secondary. I'll do my secondary additions, whether that's, a fruit spice that's gonna, hang out and chill for a little while. My secondary phase, I'll basically let sit. I don't look at the airlock. I don't really measure gravity more than like every other week at most. I just kind of let that chill until I've got to the point where, okay, this is probably ready to bottle. And if I'm adding flavors, I get a little bit more monitoring as far as the additions and stuff like that. If I'm just sitting it on oak, I'll go about a half an ounce of oak per gallon and let that sit for a week or two and taste it. If I'm adding, a spice, maybe I taste that every other day until I get where I want. It's just kind of a, this is a rule of thumb that I have to play with. What? at that point, I go to my, finishing bottling phase where I'm gonna stabilize and I'm gonna back sweeten, then I'm gonna, add any other flavors like the tinctures and things like that, and I'm gonna put it into bottles. I have all of that in a rough plan before I put fruit and honey and mead into a bucket and start fermenting. Does that plan change? Yeah, frequently.
Oh, yeah. No plan encounters survives the encounter with the first step.
Right. Yeah, you kind of have to you have to be willing to pivot and play and move, but I like to have a plan. I'm a type A kind of person in that regard.
Yeah, and
Not many others.
I don't mind having a plan. I don't mind having what I have normally is a goal. I'm looking for this. And I'm not as bad as my son Rowan. My son, he makes his mead by feel. That's a direct quote from him. I think that's enough of this, and this should be enough of that. We're good. And I'm doing the measurements so I know how to do it again later. But I will do the measurements, but I don't necessarily, I have literally gone to the store, found a juice I thought would be fascinating. Went home, put it in a bucket, started. I literally went to, when I went to a Restaurant Depot one time, I found, you have a damaged can of peaches. Took it home, started a peach batch. And there was no plan, no, I mean, I did my measurements and off I went. There's, and I will, what I'd like to say about this, if you, whatever way you're doing it, it's not wrong.
No.
It's not, it's how you're doing it. Just make sure you're keeping your own notes and your own
Right.
processes, because I hope you run into the best mead you ever had in your experimentation. I want you to do it again. I really do.
No, I think, and we've talked about this before, my personal hell would be to create the best mead I ever made and not be able to replicate it. My close second hell, though, would be to create the best mead I ever made and then be forced to replicate it ad nauseum with no variation.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
I think that's another thing that stops me from wanting to make a meadery. It's just like, okay, so now I have to make this this like orange and cardamom mead that
Forever.
right. And it has to be, people can't be like, oh, last year's vintage was so much better. Well, fuck you then. Don't buy it.
Yeah, I have a stick. I'm making good meat. Did you enjoy it? Yes, we're good. that's all you're doing. And Jeff was not wrong. I said if I could have, if we had oodles and boodles of cash, we'd have a meadery, and not a single bottle would leave that meadery. We'd just be sitting there drinking and chill there.
So, not unlike, what we already do, except at a larger scale,
Yeah,
you're
pretty
saying.
much. Yeah,
Okay,
have
yeah.
friends come over. Hey, drink this. We're running. We have a lot of this excess. Drink that for me. We have a lot more friends.
Yeah, and I mean, again, like, that's not far off. It's like, oh, hey, we're going to a party at his place. Hey, grab some of that strawberry. Let's take some strawberry over there. That's good.
Let's grab that. Let's grab that black cherry. Whatever, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
I
No,
mean.
I one of my favorite bringing meads to party stories, and my another Chris that I know and his now wife, then girlfriend, we're moving into an apartment together. And this was, I think, maybe like my seventh or eighth batch. I was still very new at this, but I was bottling a, I made a tea mead, and it turned out like 16%. That
Wow,
was
for
rough.
a teeny.
Yes, it was tea and it was honey, and I used like I want to say K1V,
That's
and it overblew my estimation and came out a little dry, but it was actually really pleasant.
okay.
Anyway, I was packaging it in beer bottles.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, a beer bottle isn't very big. I'll bring a bottle of this tea mead and this fruit and spice mead, and we'll give them something nice for housewarming. And so I go to their housewarming party, and we're sitting around watching dumb stuff on Netflix and playing little like group board games, things like that. And I hand them the bottles, and I'm like, Chris, understand. This is in a beer bottle, but don't drink this like a beer because this will kick your ass. Drink this like a wine, just split this into two or three glasses.
Did he think that was a challenge?
No, but he didn't listen, and he just drank the bottle of the tea mead at 16% and went, "Oh shit, I fucked up."
You did. One of my favorite things to do is
We still give him crap about that
Oh, I
to
would
this
too. Yeah. If you introduce me to him, I'll give him crap about that. I wasn't even there.
He was at my wedding.
Okay, yeah, I remember. But I didn't know this story then.
No.
But no, I mean, there was a time when I was talking to a guy, an Irishman. He was an actual Irishman from Ireland. And he goes, "Oh, I don't drink whiskey much anymore." I said, "Well, why don't you drink mead?" And he goes, "Well, I drinking mead." He had a beer in his hand. And I go, "Drink mead? That's for wussies." I'm saying, "What's the percentage of that in your hand right there?" "About 5%." "Mine's 12. Who's the pussy now?" But then he's sitting there and he looks at his girlfriend right then and goes, "I like him." Yes. But then he was start he later on when we met after fair, he tried my mead. He goes, "And you're planning to move nearby when?" So
The weakest meat I've ever made is like 7-8%.
yeah.
It's and
I don't think I made one that week
yeah,
ever. I don't think I've gone to single digits, to be honest.
no, I keep saying, you know, the like all these hard seltzers and things like that are crap. They taste like
Oh, they taste horrible. They're harsh and they're bitter. And I want bitter. I'll drink a beer.
But carbonate a little 7-8% ABV mead, you get the honey flavor, you get the fruit and spice and whatever other ancillary flavors, so much better. And I did a calculation, just a rough calculation, like estimating the amount of calories going into like an 8% session mead that I made at
Okay.
one point. And granted, I can't guarantee anything that I put in there was 100% correct, but I gather that a lot of the reason people like these seltzer drinks is because they're low calorie, low carb kind of crap. And, you know, everybody's dieting these days, right? A 12-ounce pour of the session mead that I looked at was less than 120 calories, according to
Okay.
the math that I came up with.
Wow.
That's not terrible.
No, it's not
That's,
horrible.
you know, that's less than beer. That's maybe a little bit more than a seltzer, but not a lot. And for the flavor you're getting and actually getting to enjoy it, that's a trade-off I'm willing to take.
Okay, fair, fair.
So,
Anyway, so that's our process for how we figure out what we're going to do for a mead.
yeah.
And right now, I'll be honest, Jeff has done more into the planning session of meads. That's kind of a new area for me because mine was, "I'll try this flavor, this flavor." And I was a little bit more like my son with notes.
Yeah, I mean,
But
there's nothing
anymore,
wrong with going into it with just vibes.
yeah. And it works a lot.
Let's face it, like what we're looking to end up with is vibes. I want a happy thing that I can just, you know, have a good have a glass with my buddy and chill out and have a good weekend. I just like to go in with a plan.
Yeah, and that's cool. I mean, I'm not A type. I mean, I'm not really, really far removed from it. I do like somewhat of a plan, or at least an outline. But honestly, what I want is I want to know what I'm going to end up with, and because by that necessity, I need to have some kind of plan, especially when I'm going for s'more, banana fluffernutter, anything complicated that has dimension. You should have a plan.
Well, and like we talked about, I like to know a primary, a secondary, maybe a tertiary, ancillary, whatever. The more complicated you get with that, I think the more you need to have an outline of where you want to go with it and like how you want to get there.
And believe me, everybody out here that was listening probably knows somebody cooks really well. The person, yeah, they're invited to dinner. I really want to go to the because they cook really well. If you have a question, ask them. They have a base of knowledge that you might benefit from. And I consider chefs a lot like masons. It's not a matter of getting them to talk, it's a matter of getting them to shut up. Once you get them going, "Oh, let's try this flavor, that flavor," you better have a recorder going because they're just not going to stop until you fall over.
By the same token, though, when you were talking about like your finishing steps and things like that, you talked about how you have your wife help you figure out like how much honey you need because she has, you said, a better palate than you
Well,
do.
my smell comes and goes,
Right.
so my taste comes goes with it.
You do have a natural limitation to that, and I understand that. By the same token, I'm a mead judge. I've been complimented on my perception, like, and you know, that I still get other people to help me with this. Bare minimum, like my wife will be like, hey, I think this is good, or I think this needs more. What do you think? I
Yes.
want at least one other sounding board.
Feedback is wonderful.
Because I'm not, we have like a bunch of different senses. We call it five, but there's other stuff in there that is, we don't really
They don't have a
address.
name for it yet.
Or we have names for it, but we don't talk about it. Proprioception is a weird one that I'm, now that I'm rehabbing my ankles, I'm figuring that out all by myself. And we don't talk about that in terms of say, like sight and taste and sound, but the smell and the taste are our weirdest flavors, because those connect to like lizard brain stuff that we don't really have good labels for. And the connections between, our taste buds or our, what the hell does our smell connect to on the nose? Is it like whatever nerve endings are there that pick up those little chemicals and stuff to make smells? Those go through so much on the way there that's different for so many different people and have so many different like little genetic diversity, like inclusion things. You need someone else to taste your stuff, because one person, you tasting it, is leaving you blind.
Yeah, we're also limited by our own experience and preference. And yeah, and I have had people taste my rice, oh, I don't like that at all. And six other people say, what is wrong with you? And I actually stepped in and said, nothing's wrong. It's not something he enjoys. Totally different situation.
Preference, the little minor genetic things, experience.
And that's why there'll never be a perfect meat. And that's awesome.
What I think is my best meat yet was a, I used, I want to say lavender blossom honey
Oh, I remember that.
and kvike,
I remember your
and
lavender blood. I remember that meat. Oh, that was it was good.
it was a very simple traditional made with kvike yeast, the Voss kvike, and I thought it turned out great. Jackie hated it.
Okay.
There was some kind of off flavor that he got at the very end that not everybody can perceive, apparently, but it's just that kvikey thing that he did not like.
And I'll be honest, when I had that meat from you, I had no sense of smell at that point. So it was just pure taste for me, and I loved it.
And I've drank so many of my own meats, and I assumed I was going to have to do something to finish it, like oak or blah, 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 blah. No. Like a little bit more of the lavender for back sweetening, and boom, it was done. It was done.
So
Anyway.
I hope it gave you an insight. If okay, going by vibe is cool. My son does that as a religious practice almost. Jeff and I are a little more planning. Jeff plans more than I do, but find your groove, man.
There's nothing wrong with vibes, especially if you're just getting started. But write notes, take notes.
Notes are not the option, guys. Notes are absolutely required because believe me, you make a really good meeting and you want to make it again and you didn't take notes. Welcome to your personal hell
Yeah,
because you'll
or
never get there.
more to the point, if you make a really good meat and you want to make it better, how do you know where to start?
Yeah. Right? Your notes are so, I mean, notes are in many ways are more important than sanitation because sanitation is going to get you where you want to go, but notes are going to get you how you're going to get there is your map. And there you go, guys.
Sanitize, sanitize, sanitize. Right.
Yeah. Welcome to, well, our personal fashion.
Yeah.
We love doing this.
Chris, I thought this was going to be a shorter episode.
Yeah, well,
Oops.
we it's shocking we talk.
Yeah, we start hey, vibes.
Vibes.
Damn.
Vibes, boss. Oh, well. So, Jeff, I'll talk to you next time we get together for this. And hey,
Cheers, bud. See you next
cheers.
week.
Cheers, mate.